You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hello, everyone. You're about to hear an episode that we recorded live in Denver back in November. And speaking of live shows, we just wanted to take this opportunity right at the top to tell you about a few more live shows that we have coming up in January 2020. Starting with January 22nd, we will be in San Francisco for SF Sketchfest at the Gateway Theater, and we are covering the movie The Social Network. And then January 24th will be in New York for the Brooklyn Podcast Festival at the Bell House, and we will be covering Black Swan. And finally, on January 26th, we'll be in Philadelphia at Good Good Comedy Theater, and we will be covering The Sixth Sense. So a lot of dark and eerie movies on this little tour. More details and ticket links are on our website, bechtelcast.com, and click on the live tab for all the information you need. The other thing we have to mention on this episode is that at this live show, we talked for so long about the movie The Santa Claus that we decided to split this episode up into two parts. So this is part one that you're listening to right now, and we are releasing part two tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Until then, enjoy part one of The Santa Claus.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdel cast.
Hello.
Oh man, we're so excited. So we're in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, ever heard of it?
We're so, give it up for yourselves for coming out tonight. Man,
hey.
I'm so excited. My name is Jamie Loftus.
My name is Caitlin Durante.
And we are the co-hosts of the Bechdelcast, the show you're currently at.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Welcome.
By round of applause, who listens to our show?
Oh, and now for a moment of tension. Who among you does not listen to the Bechdelcast? No judgment.
Brave, oh, yeah. brave. Each and every one of you, not allies. Okay, thank you so much.
Hates women.
Wow, incredible that you all hate women. Okay. Thank you for coming. We hope to convert you. We're gonna, what is that movie, A Clockwork Orange, where you just...
That's kind of what this experience will be like.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, we talk about the representation of women in movies. We use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point to initiate a larger conversation. And the Bechdel test is a media metric created by cartoonist Alison Bechdel.
It's sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
And a movie will pass the Bechdel test if two female-identifying characters with names speak to each other about something other than a man.
Can we demonstrate?
Yes.
Okay, so this is an example of an Academy Award winning scene between two female characters. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Jamie.
All good scenes start like this. Caitlin.
Yes, Jamie.
Did you know that Santa Claus is a woman?
Oh, wow.
Now you know.
Now I know.
And scene. It's kind of like that. The best part of the Bechdel test is it doesn't have to even be good writing. Truly is a bare minimum metric. And so few movies pass it. It's incredible.
I think Ariana Grande should rewrite her God is a Woman song as Santa Claus is a Woman for the holidays.
I stand for Ariana, which is the most embarrassing thing about me. But she has, I think, the horniest Christmas album out of all of the... I mean, she has... It's for all holidays, but it's very... It's like... Whoa, you know, you don't think you're gonna like turn on this music and be like, I need to have sex immediately, but it really gets you somewhere that you aren't expecting to go.
Okay,
yeah, highly recommend the Ariana Grande holiday catalog if you're looking to spice up a relationship, or if you're, you know, just out there looking for someone, just turn it on and people, moths to a flame.
Oh, sure.
Everyone gets horny for it.
And I think most of that passed the Bechdel test, assuming the sex you'll be having is not with a man, so.
Which is always for the best.
True.
So yeah, that's what our podcast is. And now we get to, I think we've chosen what I think is indisputably a feminist text.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
It's genuinely really hard when we're doing holiday movies because none of them are about women. It's truly alarming.
Jamie, The Princess Switch on Netflix starring Vanessa Hudgens.
But we already did that one. I know. We did, and then we're going to do, what's the new one? The Night.
Oh, the A Night Before Christmas, but night spelled with
oof.
A K.
Oof. It will be a classic. I like that Vanessa Hudgens has just been like, I am in charge of this genre now. Like, yeah. She just is really taking, I appreciate the take charge attitude. No one asked her to do it. She just was like, there's room here. And she's right.
Her agents are probably begging her, like, please don't say yes to this other one. And she's like, no, I'm doing it.
She's like, I'm doing this one for the story. holiday movies, I'd be remiss not to bring it up. This is the time of year where the masses, they revolt because my unproduced screenplay, Santa University, still hasn't been produced. Yeah. I wrote it in 2012. It's 5 hours long.
Yeah.
It's a musical, but the best part is it's about Santa University, right? So a university where Santas go. Santas of all a very inclusive university. Here's the twist. Only one Santa graduates a year and the rest die. People would lose their minds for this movie.
They don't just die, they kill each other.
They kill each other. I'm sorry, they don't die of like illness. They kill each other. It's very violent. It can happen to anyone at any time, you know? It's really, and the lead character is, I think, the most, it's just, you know what? A woman wins at the end, is all I'm saying. A woman becomes the one true Santa, which is great, but then also she has to be killed at the end of the next year. Because that's how Santa University works. Anyways, that's the movie we're discussing today.
Close. Very close.
The classic we're discussing today is The Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. 94.
Yep.
Tim Allen vehicle.
Yes.
Very successful. Clap it up if you have seen this movie before.
Okay. And a round of applause for those of you who've not seen the movie. Wow.
Oh. People are like, I've not listened to the Bechdel cast, but I've seen this. Everyone, we were just talking about in the lobby that I think that most people have seen this movie, whether they like it or not. Like,
right.
It's a movie that is very hard to avoid.
That's true.
Everyone has seen it. I mean, it's a feminist text.
I mean, clearly. Yeah. Well, let's bring out our guest to join our conversation about this feminist text.
She's a Denver legend.
She is. She's a very funny comedian. She's written for Clickhole. Give it up for Grace Thomas. Hello.
What's up?
Thanks for being here.
The microphone was on the chair and not the floor. down that far.
So, Grace, tell us about your history relationship with the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Well, every time I've seen the Santa Claus movies for the first time, someone has died.
Oh.
Well, like later. I saw the first one with my...
I was going to say, what is this, Santa University?
I saw the first one and the second one with my dad. Mm-hmm. And then he died a year after the second one.
Coincidence?
I think
not. I saw
the third one with my cousin. And she died this past summer.
Oh, I'm sorry for all your losses.
It's fine. I'm joking about it. So.
And I think in a deep state sense, it's certainly all connected.
I think it's definitely connected in a deep state sense. And I question why I haven't been compensated.
It really does make you think.
Okay, so you've watched them, the movie? You've seen all three?
I've seen all three. Yes.
Has anyone else here seen all three?
Oh, wow.
This is a powerful mythos. This is more powerful than I could have imagined. We have not seen... I think I've seen all three at various... I couldn't speak to all three. But Grace, you can speak to all three.
I certainly can. Yeah. I just rewatched Santa Claus 2
right.
Like 2 hours ago.
Oh my God. Not by coincidence, too.
Yeah, just by coincidence. I had that scheduled months ago, actually.
Which, and Santa Claus 2 is the one that if he doesn't get married, Christmas is canceled, right?
Yes. But it is also the one where a copy of Santa Claus, a toy Santa Claus, is made.
What?
And wait, then he militarizes the North Pole. Or so the movie would like to suggest. But really, the North Pole has already been militarized.
Right.
Because in the very first scene, Santa Claus, like there's an oil plane going over the North Pole, checking for oil. And they have to like make sure that this oil plane doesn't detect the North Pole, because I guess their magic doesn't cover that.
Right.
In particular. And Santa Claus pops up and he declares ElfCon won. And Santa Claus, not the toy Santa Claus, Tim Allen, real Santa Claus, is in full military regalia with medals. And one of those floppy hats, the whole thing.
They were waiting for this day.
They already had, the pieces were in place, you know? Yeah. It's like how people say like Jimmy Carter was anti-war. Well, he didn't, okay.
Fine, no, we've been waiting to talk about Jimmy Carter on the cast for a really long time. This is important.
It's not like he melted down the tanks, you know? They were still there.
So wait, what is it? It's ElfCon 1?
It's ElfCon 1.
Okay.
It's okay. The oil plane just keeps going.
Mm.
And then flash forward a month later, there's this toy Santa. He's made all these toy soldiers. Mm-hmm. And he's going to attack all the world with coal.
For all the naughty people?
Right, okay,
and
which
I
is important.
I think it's eerily prescient, considering that the Iraq War was declared.
Right.
Nary a few months later.
This is like, Christmas 2002 is just long enough to be post 9/11 and be like, we have to get into production right now.
Exactly.
That is alarming.
It is a post 9/11 Santa Claus movie.
Yeah. Do they have like the alert color system?
They're it
like,
does, yes. ElfCon 4 is green, and then it goes yellow, orange, red.
Oh my God.
And red is ElfCon 1. I think it's good they made this film.
I know. I mean, and I think it made it. I mean, this movie, I'm pretty sure, ended that war, didn't it?
Well, I mean, as a child, I don't think I would have been prepared for the war in Iraq if I hadn't seen the Santa Claus 2. The morning that that war was declared, my mom woke me up at like 5 a.m. and was like, honey, we're at war.
And you were like, what do you mean war?
And then I already knew.
And she was like, well, it's kind of like the Santa Claus too. Yeah,
exactly like the Santa Claus too.
You're like, right? Oh, well then Santa Claus will get married and the conflict will be resolved, I'm pretty sure. Okay, and then Santa Claus 3 is Martin Short as Jack Frost, and that's all I remember.
Yeah, and Santa Claus 3 is called the Santa Claus 3 The Escape Clause. And it's a very controversial entry into the canon. Because it's revealed in the Santa Claus 3 that the elves have just been gaslighting him the whole time.
Wait, how so?
They've been telling Santa Claus for years that, like, he's locked into Santa Claus, you know? Like,
yeah.
In the first movie, they're like, okay, you signed the contract, that's it, you're Santa.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But it turns out in the Santa Claus 3, the escape clause, if Santa Claus holds the snow globe that...
Bernard?
That David Crumbles gave. Yeah, Bernard gave to Charlie in the first movie. If he holds it and says, I wish I was never Santa Claus. Time reverses.
It's and a time travel.
He's never Santa Claus.
So you could just undo the whole canon.
Yeah. It's that simple.
I would revolt. I would like, how do you say that? The Szechuan sauce style revolt.
Oh.
I would be like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Okay. But is it a good movie?
You know, I went to it with my uncle and I hadn't seen him in years, so it did a positive thing.
That's good. We were talking about this backstage, but the budgets for the Santa Claus movies are extremely in flux. Where the first Santa Claus movie that we're discussing today is stupidly successful. It has a $22 million budget and it makes almost $200 million, which is why everyone has seen it.
Yeah.
By law, right? Yeah. So the second one, they're like, all right, people want this. They triple the budget. It gets $66 million mostly for the military, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They spend so much time in the North Pole.
That one maybe doesn't do as well, but it still triples its budget. But, you know, they're like, okay. And then the third one, The Escape Clause, has an $11 million budget. And that's the last entry into the canon.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
You're right. What surprised me is
it really doesn't have much of an extended universe.
No. It's very contradictory.
There would be some novels.
So, long story short, you're very into the Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm pretty much into any movie I saw with my dad before he died.
Fair.
Pretty much.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you have the most comprehensive knowledge and, I think, a power.
Yeah, I'm an oracle.
Yes.
When it comes to the Santa Claus movies.
All right, well, we're so glad to have your expertise here.
I have a giant book that I've written all of this down there. In a language only I can understand.
Chris is just the funniest person to ever.
Oh my gosh.
Caitlin, what's your history with this movie? Yeah, fucking follow that.
Yeah. I grew up with this movie as a child. It came out when I was 8, and I watched it a lot from probably ages like 8 to 10, and then I haven't seen it since. Mm. How about you, Jamie?
I've seen this movie a lot of times. I think I was too little to see it when it came out, but I'd seen all three of them. Mm-hmm. I think I've only seen the second one maybe 5 times and the third one just the once.
Yeah.
I've seen this one so many times.
Can I ask you two one quick question?
Yeah. Of course.
Did you ever see it with someone who died later? Or is it just Grace?
It may in fact be, but I think to maybe make you feel more comfortable, I would kill my brother.
Okay. That's reasonable. Can I ask the audience if they've
seen
it?
Oh, please, yeah.
Sure. Have you all seen it with anyone who died later?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
Cool. The curse is real.
Your dad? That's great. A good connection. We'll talk later.
I really liked this. It was like one of my favorite holiday movies growing up. I had a very nasty, nasty crush on Bernard the Elf. Hot, right? Bernard the Elf, you're like, white man with dreads. I shouldn't, right? And then yet, I like a moth to the flame, I do. I keep going back. I keep going back to him. I was looking for like an oral history in this movie. I'm like, who was the one that was like, white guy with dreads, right? Like, it's just nothing about the character demands that. I would be shocked if it was written into the script, and yet there he is.
There
and
it
I
is.
Was like, what? I was really hot for Bernard. And my mom, I remember that Grace and I were talking about this earlier. I definitely saw the second one in theaters. I remember going because it was, I think, an 8-year lapse between the first and the second. And the first one, Charlie is like, he's like, you know, 7 or 8. He's like this cute little kid with a bowl cut. And my mom did that horrible thing that moms occasionally do where he was like a teenager. And my mom leaned over to me at the movie theater and was like, wow, right? Handsome young man he's becoming. Like, she was just trying to force the narrative, maybe because she was like, please stop jerking off to Bernard. She was really pushing the Charlie narrative. But I wouldn't be tricked, and I would still let Bernard go down on me.
Okay.
I think Bernard looks very non-binary, in my opinion.
Ooh.
I think he looks very, like, I think he looks like a he-him lesbian, you know?
An NB icon.
An NB icon,
oh,
for sure.
Oh, I just want to bring them home.
Yeah.
Bernard is, who, I just want to know, #, who decided the dreads?
Yeah.
It's just,
we'll never know.
I really like this movie.
Do you think that Bernard just got the, like, David Krumholtz just got the last wig they had?
All the
showed up late. They're like, this is how it works at a movie set. If you come late, you get the last wig, okay? This is what you get.
And they're like, and the worst part is, it's canon now.
Yeah.
Because in the sequels, he also has the dress.
Yeah. Oh, no.
They didn't need to be like, and 8 years later, he still has dress.
Wait, so if he's in the sequel,
in this
world, the elves are children and they don't age, but he would have aged like 8 years.
They do age, though. That's the thing. That's what angers me so much.
they age very slowly.
They do, but like, Curtis in the third movie, I think, is played by the same. Curtis is the second elf.
He's a kid in the first one, right?
Yeah. And then
he keeps coming back?
I think it's the same actor in the third movie.
Wow, good for him.
But like in the first movie, Judy's like, I'm 1,200 years old.
Yes.
And then Tim Allen hits on her.
Yes.
Yikes.
First of all, it's
one of the grossest scenes.
It was that scene, you're just like, who is this for?
Yeah. Because she's played by a child, and it's
and
scary.
And not like, oh, 15, 16, like 9. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid and I first saw that movie, I remember seeing that scene and be like, oh my God, I hope they get married. Oh. I mean, like, this is the start of a wonderful love story.
And people say media doesn't influence you. It is wild that Tim Allen full-on flirts with a child.
Yeah, and in my memory, when I hadn't seen it for a while, I thought she was an adult. I thought she was like the one adult. And then you see it again, and she's the youngest of them all.
Couldn't
really
have been
horrible.
More of a child. It's pretty alarming.
Well, should I do the recap?
Yes, this is going to be... I mean, there's so much feminist lore to discuss in this movie that...
Hi, everyone. Hi, I'm about to do the recap, but before I do, I just had to sneak backstage in the middle of the show because I'm just so excited to tell you about Casper. I hope Jamie doesn't mind that I just left her out there, but I, again, simply have to tell you about Casper, a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Now, most people spend 1/3 of their life sleeping, so you should be comfortable when you sleep. If that's 33.33333 repeating percent of your life, right? Which is why Casper products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. It also has a breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. You know what? I'll tell you one thing. If Charlie had been sleeping on a Casper mattress, he would not have woken up when there arose such a clatter with Santa clamoring around on his roof. He would have slept straight through it because he would have been so comfortable sleeping on his Casper mattress. Casper also offers a wide variety of other products, like pillows and sheets, to ensure an overall better sleep experience. And Casper offers affordable prices, free shipping in the US and Canada, and hassle-free returns if you're not completely satisfied. That's right, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. So sleep through Santa visiting your house this holiday season on a Casper mattress and get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/TBC and using TBC at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's $100 toward select mattresses by visiting casper.com/TBC and using promo code TBC at checkout. Okay, now I gotta get back to the show, so here I come.
All right, so here we go. It's Christmas time. that's what I wrote.
Good start.
Thank you. We meet Scott Calvin. Two first names, suspicious.
Right, we don't, never trust a man with two first names. Jack Ryan.
Also, Tim Allen has two first names.
Right, and he's sus as hell. Yeah. So. What does that show you?
Ugh. He works at a toy company in the sales department, I think. Mm-hmm. He is divorced. He and his ex-wife.
His ex-wife.
Laura. I was writing her name as Linda in all of my notes because I feel like that's such a common his wife name that I just phoned it in. And I was like, honestly, I was pretty close.
Yeah.
Laura.
I think they call her both.
And then they just break and they look to camera like, you get the idea. We're not going to tell you what her job is.
Right. They're just. So they have a son together, Charlie, who spends Christmas Eve with Scott because his mom and new husband, Neil
Judge Reinhold,
mm-hmm, they're having dinner or something, and Charlie's not invited.
In some of the most, I think, of my childhood, some of the most effective in movie marketing of all time when they go to Denny's.
Oh.
Because there were no Denny's near where I grew up, and I was asking my parents for years, what is Denny's? Can we go? And then it was like a big deal when we finally got to go to a Denny's.
And it's so horrible.
It's okay, listen.
Excuse me.
The 2-4-6-8 menu, are you kidding?
Have you ever been to a Perkins?
Okay, no. Denny's can kick Perkins' ass any day.
I've never been to a Perkins. Wait, the moment where I'm like, you know what, I'm doing okay in life, is when I would go to Denny's and be like, I'm going to get off, you know, off the 2-4-6-8. I'm like, I'm going to go off the 6 menu
wow.
today. No. I was like, I'm a millionaire.
What I think the audience should know is that Jamie, you and I go to Denny's together
a lot. And it was, no, but I was so excited to go to Denny's. And then I, on the rewatch, I was like, oh, they really were going for broke on this Denny's endorsement. Tim Allen leans into the car and he's like, it's an American institution, Denny's. And then they have
like
a horrible
to push
time.
Back on that for a second. Because not only does the Denny's hardly have anything left.
That's true.
Charlie goes in there. They want eggnog.
But it's so busy.
They don't have it. And Charlie doesn't enjoy his time at all.
No.
So if the bigwigs at Disney were trying to promote Denny's with this film, they did a horse shit job. It worked for you.
I was like, I asked to go for 14 years after
honestly,
that.
I think it worked for me because I really wanted to go to Denny's for a long time too, and my
really?
Mom would refuse. Because again, Perkins was an option. There. So.
but they go to Denny's and it's great.
It's great. Yeah. And we love Denny's here on the Bechdelcast.
We stand
okay.
Denny's. Someone's going to tweet at us and be like, Denny's is problematic. I'm like, no.
We know. Everything's the worst.
Denny's is canceled. I take it back.
Okay. So Scott is not the most invested parent. He like puts in a little effort. He burns the turkey. They go to the Denny's.
Mm-hmm. Iconic when he burns the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I feel like there's a...
We just in a mythical way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it really speaks to me on a primal
lighting
level.
Lighting on fire again and again.
Right.
I would watch a 10-hour loop of extinguishing the
I
turkey.
Think it almost suggests that maybe there was mischief afoot.
Ooh.
And some force was setting him up.
Do you think that Santa Claus targeted Scott Calvin? It's like, I'm over this job. I don't want to do it anymore.
100% I think that came
wow.
Like,
is it just
100%?
Any person with the initials SC, they're like, they're on notice. Sarah Connor. Sarah Connor.
Wow.
Think about it. Santa Claus. Coincidence? I think not.
Can I? Two things real quick. One, there's a shot when Santa's on the ground after he's fallen.
Yeah.
And Scott and Charlie are trying to figure out what to do. And there's just one shot, which doesn't look like any of the other shots in the film. It's like this weird, I went to film school.
I just did you go?
I just like to say briefly that I didn't graduate. But I attended briefly.
But you that's so if you didn't then that must mean you didn't go twice to film school. Like, I don't like to bring it up, but I did get a master's degree in screenwriting from Boston University. I hate to mention it.
Caitlin's addicted to flaunting her debt.
I think that's beautiful. I'm $20,000 in debt with nothing. Well, I've got some good stories.
Yeah.
So, you have this astute observation.
At least there's that. Yes, this astute observation. There's this shot. Santa's on the ground. It's medium shot.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I'm familiar.
Shot. Okay. She's in the weeds.
Something else that's weird about it, but I don't know what it is, but it looks weird.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's
all I got.
Medium shot is the term I was prepping everyone for.
That's the whole observation.
By telling them I went to film school. But what happens in it, in the mise en scène.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the mise en scène.
Yeah, the mise en scène.
Oh, the mise en scène.
The mise en scène.
The mise en scène. Is Santa, like, raises his hand for a moment and goes...
Oh, yeah,
knowingly.
He, like,
very knowingly.
That was, I wrote that down. I'm like, was that the last thing he did before he died?
Yes. And so, and I think it suggests that he chose to vanish. Like, I think it suggests that he,
right.
He it was his choice.
And Caitlin brought up something excellent on the drive here, which is that we learn in the Santa Claus 2, although I guess we learn in the Santa Claus 3 that none of it matters, but in the Santa Claus 2, an additional clause is presented that unless you have his wife, Christmas is canceled, which means
that the Santa who falls off the roof and dies in the beginning of this movie would have probably had his wife.
And where did she
go? Where did she go?
Yeah, what happened?
Did she, is her life force tied
Sarah
to
Connor.
Santa? And then she also died in that very moment?
Sarah Connor.
Or.
Think about it.
I think her name is Sandra Claus. And she either died in that moment or she just gets like ousted. They're like, your husband's dead. You're not welcome here anymore. And they like ban her from the North Pole. We don't know though. Where there should be an extended universe, and we should get a spinoff
That's
about
what
Sandra
I'm
Claus.
Yes. Grace is available.
Yeah, I'm really
Sasha
available.
Baron Cohen.
This has been a rough. No,
I'm just looking up a list this of people.
Is anyone
Stephen Colbert? Think about it. Simon Cowell. Who else do we got?
Clap if your
Sophia
initials.
Sofia Coppola.
Oh wow! If your initials in the audience.
Steve Carell.
Carell.
Thank you.
Does anyone here have initials SC? I do. You, one person.
Okay, Santa, show yourself. Can't believe Santa came to the show.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Honestly, so exciting. That's all of Steve Coogan. Mm. All right, I'm gonna start. And finally, Sheryl Crow.
Sure.
Think about it.
Okay.
Santa Claus. She goes to bed with her monogram pajamas, and then her kid comes up to her like, wait a second. Sorry, right. What's happening in the movie?
I don't even know. Clearly there's not much for us to talk about, which is why we're stretching.
It's feminist. Tim Allen pushing someone off a roof is feminist.
He does.
Well,
he,
you know, I'm still trying to process something you said earlier, I have to say.
Oh, what?
You two were making fun of people with two first names. And I would just like to quickly remind you that my name is Grace Thomas.
Oh.
And I'm not some yeehaw dipshit. I went to film school, as we previously established, and I demand some respect.
You right. and Jack Ryan have my eternal respect. I'm so sorry, Queen.
Is Jack Ryan the show with Jim from The Office?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but this time he got a gun.
All right, so back to the Santa Claus.
We're in minute two.
Truly. Okay, so they go to Denny's. They talk about whether or not Santa Claus is real, and Scott wants Charlie to believe that Santa is real, even though he, as an adult, does not believe in Santa.
Right.
Now, it's the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, and there arose such a clatter on Tim Allen's roof.
And the kid who plays Charlie is like, he's really good in the movie. He's like, there, it's a clatter! He's so cute. And then he grows up, and my mom is like, whoa. But in this one, he's cute.
Yeah. So Scott goes outside to check on the clatter, and Santa is on his roof. He accidentally startles Santa Claus, and he slips off and falls off the roof and dies.
Or Progress does it on purpose. It was planned.
100% right. does it on purpose.
Yes. It's like how...
Such a hot take.
It's like how in The Dark Knight, Batman is trying to get like Harvey Dent to like be the new like crusader against crime so that he doesn't have to do it anymore. And I think that's the same thing that's happening
here.
Yeah,
same vibe, same energy.
I think it is. Probably a similar amount of people die throughout the course of the film. Yeah.
So Scott reaches into Santa's suit and finds a business card that says, if something should happen to me, put on my suit, the reindeer will know what to do. Mm-hmm. So then he and Charlie see the reindeer on the roof. They notice Santa's body has now vanished.
Totally fine.
Totally normal. And his suit is still there, though. So, and then a ladder appears suddenly.
Arose such a clatter company.
Yes.
Still funny. Still funny.
And they climb up onto the roof. The sleigh is up there. They both get in it. And Scott's like, this is stupid. But Charlie's like, wee.
That classic father-son dynamic. Right?
And then the reindeer take off with Scott and Charlie in the sleigh. They go to the next house that was apparently on just the Santa agenda. And Scott reluctantly puts on the Santa suit. And the like magical bag of toys takes him down the chimney.
Which in some of the most cursed special effects you'll see in your life.
Yeah.
They're just like, let's render Tim Allen barely. It's so scary.
Yeah.
It's very alarming.
I also did not notice until this rewatch that the reindeer are like puppets. I thought as a kid they were full on real.
Yeah, amazing reindeer actors. It's 100% fart jokes for the reindeers. Close up of Henson Workshop making fart noises. I'm like, yeah, that's what that technology was invented for.
So he goes into this next house. He puts toys under the tree. Is this the one where like the little girl is there and he's like, fuck off, little girl?
Yeah.
He's like, fuck you.
Yeah, and she doesn't notice that her house suddenly has a fireplace, then it goes away.
That is the second house.
The second house.
The second house. Okay, I'm sorry. My God.
You asked, and
she's attacking us.
I didn't want everyone to get burned online.
Which happens to us all the time.
Yeah. The first one has a fireplace like usual.
Yes.
And then the second one.
Even though it's an identical house.
Yeah.
They're side by side and they're identical houses, but this other one doesn't have...
It just has a little pipe.
Yeah. Thank you for your clarification.
But Santa makes it work. Santa makes it work.
He does.
Because I think the film very artfully takes you into its mythology step by step.
You know?
First you see the bag levitate him.
Yeah.
And then you see the transmogrification, you know? Right. Not all at once.
It's world building at its best.
I mean,
Folks, these are the writers of Space Jam. They know what they're doing.
Oh, wow. Okay. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. They know what they're doing. They're skilled artisans.
So, Tim Allen, what's his name? Scott.
Scott and Calvin.
Charlie.
Cheryl Crow.
He and his son do this over and over again with house after house all night. And then they finally are taken to the North Pole, where Santa's workshop is, and there are lots of elves, including...
Yeah, they're children, but they're a million.
Yes. And then this is when we meet Bernard.
Did anyone else here also think Tim Allen was hot?
Woo!
Because...
Some people,
I'm gonna just say right here. I do.
He's in this movie. He's
and also in Santa Claus 2. Santa Claus 3, the ship sailed. But Santa Claus 2, that's
he's still
some good
got it
stuff.
In 02?
Yeah.
All right.
And you know, I think that I kind of idolize him a little. Well, like not Tim Allen as a person.
Right.
But Scott Calvin, you know, we've
been. The character Scott Calvin.
We've been pretty critical, and the film is pretty critical of his parenting pre-Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he's not a raging alcoholic, you know?
That's true.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a low bar
for a father. I think that's a perfectly adequate yardstick.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And this is not to be, I'm in recovery. It's like cool if you're an alcoholic. I mean, you know, like... I'm not saying that you're a bad person if you're an alcoholic. However, from personal experience, pretty hard to be a bad parent if you're a raging alcoholic. That's a tough one to pull off, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Also, Charlie gets two houses. I had a two-bedroom apartment and a one-bedroom apartment. Those were my choices growing up.
This is like yet another... Because we recently recorded an episode on Home Alone, and it's yet another, like... upscale, like, white family living in Illinois, specifically in November and December. Like,
right.
It's such a specific vibe. Why are they always in Illinois? It was filmed in Toronto. Are people afraid of people thinking they're Canadian? Everything is filmed in Vancouver and Toronto, and they're like, no, it's Chicago. You're like, it isn't. That's okay. Let's accept it. People are evading taxes.
Right.
Yeah, Charlie, I guess we'll talk about it more in depth, but I did like about this movie is like it was definitely one of the first movies I saw that like treated a divorced family as something that was like normal and there wasn't a villain in the story. It was just like clear that these two people didn't belong together, and then the mother got remarried and it was like difficult, but it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone loved the child, and like, I don't know. I thought that didn't even like register with me. It's like, oh, that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Charlie's not like messed up from having divorced parents.
No, now he has a free therapist.
Right.
They're not even, you know, I remembered them being harsher on Neil than they actually were, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. They are surprisingly light on Neil. There's like a couple of like things at times in the film where he's like a little bit effeminate, and that's the joke. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, and you know what? I mean, that's bad.
Chris is like, is this the hill to die on? No, moving on.
But for the most part, it's fine. Yeah.
I mainly remember the sweater burn. I remember the sweater burn very, very clearly. Mm-hmm. And I think I just was like, oh, that must have happened a lot. It just happens the once.
Yeah.
And Neil is not a villain in the story. Like, he's misguided, but he loves Charlie. He wants the best. And he doesn't hate. He's willing to work with mm-hmm. Scott. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's generally
I think he's frustrated with Scott's behavior. And I think that's reasonable.
Wait, Scott is saying he is Santa Claus, and that is a tough pill to swallow.
Yes.
But if Neil had just used his doctorate and thought for a second that SC... this guy's a doctor and he can't figure out that Scott Calvin equals Santa Claus? Unbelievable.
Also, Scott Calvin hates mental health because he keeps being like, Neil isn't a doctor, he's a psychiatrist.
Right. Yeah. But it's always like the most resistance against mental health before you fully embrace, like, you know what, it's time.
The film also seems very confused about what a psychiatrist is.
Right.
Because, like, I've been to many psychiatrists. Same. And I've never had a psychiatrist spend more than 10 minutes talking to me about, like, my feelings.
Right.
And, like, theory around psychology. They're always just like,
I think that they...
I will continue to give you Wellbutrin.
Right, yeah. Like, I love that for them because... Yeah. I need it, right? Yeah. But I think that they thought that like a psychiatrist and a therapist are the same thing, and that also a therapist can gaslight a child and that's fine. Because there's like that scene with Neil and Charlie where Neil's like, so, you think your dad is Santa? And then like slowly begins to ask these leading questions that lead up to like, so what the fuck is your problem? You're just like... Neil, you're doing a bad job.
Yeah.
You're doing your bad job.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
But before we get there, we're now in minute about 20 of the movie. So they're now in Santa's workshop, and Bernard, who I guess is like the head elf.
Oh, yeah.
He's like... he...
Disgusted with myself.
He tells Scott about the Santa Claus with an E. And this is the point of the movie where you realize they came up with the title first and then they reverse engineered a story around it.
That's when a bunch of like parents in the audience who think they're smart go, oh, they figured it out.
But the Santa Claus states.
What made me want to be a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer because of the Santa Claus.
Didn't achieve that dream, but...
But you did go to film school a little bit. So the Santa Claus clause states that if something happens to Santa Claus and he dies after he's fallen off your roof and you put on his suit, you become the new Santa.
I think this is one of the most inventive pieces of IP ever created. What sicko designed it? If you kill Santa, then you're Santa. That sounds
like a horror movie.
It's almost like this has to be a Grimm's fairy tale, right?
Yeah, it does sound like
from, and it gets scarier as it goes on. Because in the second movie, it's, and now you must procure a woman.
It gets like scarier.
And steal her away to the wastes of the north. To live with you for all your days.
Away with her dreams.
Yes.
Who does he end up marrying in the second one? Does he rob a woman of her career?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, thank heaven.
Well,
Who does he?
The principal of Charlie's high school. And then later she becomes a teacher in the North Pole.
Second act. Yeah. A second act in the North Pole, the things we do for love.
You know, maybe she becomes the superintendent of the North Pole.
Right.
Which wouldn't be stopping her career.
There's a lot of upward mobility.
Really stepping it up.
Yeah.
You know? Also, in the third movie, we find out that, yes, all elves look like children, but there are also new elves being made that are also look like children.
Wait, made or born?
Born, maybe.
I was like, are they constructed?
They're created somehow.
I know.
And it seems from the second Santa Claus movie, it seems that the North Pole doesn't have the ability to clone, right? Because if they had the ability to clone, they wouldn't have had to make a toy Santa. They could have just made a clone Santa.
Right.
So that suggests that yes. These child elves, these actual young elves, that they were born.
They were born.
And from where?
This is why we need a fourth movie. Been saying it for 14 years. How are the elves born? How does it work?
I don't know what's happening. I don't know. All right. So, Scott. He doesn't want to be the new Santa.
No.
But it seems like he has no choice because of this binding contract.
Right.
And Bernard tells him that he needs to report back to the North Pole next Thanksgiving. And until then, he can just kind of live his normal life.
Yeah, Bernard will hold it down.
Yeah.
He's like, don't worry. January through October, I'm daddy. Come Thanksgiving.
The more we talk about it, I think the less invested I'm getting in these films. Because the thing is, a huge plot point of the second film is they make the toy Santa because Santa doesn't trust Bernard to hold down the fort for literally 28 days.
It's because
that's the clock. That's how much time he has to find a wife. Yeah. So it's just 28 days.
That's like the same plot as The Princess Diaries 2 also.
It pretty much is the same plot.
It is. It's like if you don't get married this month, the country explodes. Like
Let's get back. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. It's quite all right. So let's see what's happening in the Santa Claus. Scott wakes up in his bed, and he thinks the whole thing was a dream. But Charlie insists that it was real, and his mom and stepdad and teachers and everyone at school
and
are
he has the pajamas.
Very concerned. He has the pajamas.
So he knows somewhere
deep down
that it was real.
Right. But he's in denial about it.
Right. He thinks he just had a weird dream about flirting with a kid. Little does he know, he flirted with a kid.
Yes.
That's the only night of his we see. So we're like, maybe this is a thing.
That's true.
So everyone's concerned for Charlie, and then some changes start happening. I would call this the midpoint of the movie.
Ooh.
With my master's degree. Scott starts gaining weight. His hair starts to turn white. He grows a beard that, like, even right after he shaves it, it grows back. Mm-hmm. And he's looking more and more like Santa Claus, which freaks out Laura and Neil.
Because they think that he's doing it on purpose to convince Charlie that he's Santa Claus.
Yes.
Which would be alarming.
Right.
Put yourself in their shoes.
Yes.
Well, their sweater, if you will.
This, I mean, this sequence is, I think, one of the most iconic sequences in film history. I feel like so many films have tried to copy it. For instance, Evan Almighty.
Oh, really?
And others.
And others. Oh. My favorite movies. Evan Almighty and the others.
Evan Almighty.
Really?
Almost certainly others.
So the parents are concerned, and they petition to get sole custody of Charlie and take away Scott's visitation rights. But then Scott shows up to Laura and Neil's house anyway, I think on Thanksgiving.
After he has visitation rights revoked.
Yes, because, you know, men be showing up places.
Men be showing up wistfully at the pane of glass.
At least he's not making threats. And again, at least he's not a raging alcoholic.
I mean, to everyone, please, Scott Calvin is Grace's hero, so let's be gentle.
And Scott really doesn't know what to think anymore. He's like, I look exactly like Santa Claus, but am I Santa Claus? And then Charlie's like, you are. And if you don't be Santa Claus, you're going to let all those kids down. They're counting on you. And then he's like, okay, I am Santa Claus.
And then Bernard shows up and is like, time to get to work, honey. And then they all leave.
Because men be showing up.
Because men be showing up.
This is when the snow globe comes back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a conceit used in all three films. And the same plot happens where, like, near the end of the film, the snow globe shows up.
Yeah.
And it shows someone that Santa Claus exists. Like, in the second film,
really?
It shows his prospective wife. That's, like, she's like, you're not Santa. You're just making fun of me. Because I told you I used to believe in Santa.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
Weird way to make fun of someone.
Right.
And very reflective of how she feels about him.
But then Charlie in the second film shows her the snow globe. And as soon as she sees the snow globe, she's like, it must be magic. He is Santa.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite moments.
And then in the third one, the snow globe is used to go back in time to undo Santa.
Right.
But also it's used at the end of the film to redo Santa.
So wait, is there time travel in Santa Claus 3?
Yes.
There's
extensive time travel. And it changes the whole world. But Jack Frost converts the North Pole into a theme park.
What?
Unbelievable.
Okay. I gotta watch it. I have Disney Plus now, Bragg. So
yes,
whoa,
conglomerates. Yes,
us.
We love to give them our money. I also have it.
So Bernard shows up, and then he, Scott, and Charlie all leave for the North Pole.
Yes.
And now Laura and Neil think that Charlie's been kidnapped because he's been kidnapped.
Yeah. Is why they feel that
yes,
way.
Yes, and I didn't realize this as a child, but Charlie is gone for a whole month from Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve.
Has anyone ever seen the film Dear Zachary?
No.
Oh, yes. So, oh, my God. Wait, why would you bring that up?
Because.
Oh, my God.
Because I just want to say another good thing about Scott Calvin.
Go on.
In Dear Zachary, spoiler alert.
It's a documentary. It's the saddest documentary I've ever seen in my life. Oh,
okay.
My God.
So in Dear Zachary, there's this baby, and his name is Zachary, and his dad probably got murdered by his mom, and then the mom kidnapped Zachary, right?
Yeah.
She sure does. It's so sad.
She kidnaps Zachary and then kills Zachary and then kills herself, right?
Yes.
And a lot of times when a parent that doesn't have custody kidnaps a kid, then they die in some way.
But not
but
Scott Calvin.
Yeah, not Scott Calvin. He takes it.
Grace is repeatedly citing history's greatest monsters to demonstrate that Scott Calvin isn't this bad after all.
It's not a bad dad.
I'm having a panic attack. You're not wrong.
So
you're
wait,
not
what is
wrong.
It?
You're not wrong.
It's true.
He's not a raging alcoholic.
And he's not a murderer.
He didn't murder his son. He did murder Santa Claus. But he did murder his son.
I would just like to say, again, I contend he did not.
It was in the cards.
Yeah. Right.
For Santa to die. So he abducts Charlie for a whole month.
Yes.
There's an extensive police investigation. Mm-hmm. I feel like the movie intentionally doesn't call to attention how long he's gone for.
I've seen this movie a million times. Not until Caitlin told me earlier today that it was a month that I realized.
Yeah,
it was
you were
a
like,
month.
It's a night, right?
Yeah.
And because it's
I barely
montage.
Rudely insisted it was a night.
Yes.
I very rudely, and I'm sorry, Caitlin.
It's okay.
And then Caitlin presented her evidence that it was clear that I was wrong.
Well, because he's abducted right around Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving, and then is returned on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
It's scary.
It's very scary.
Oh, and then, like, at the end, there's a very different, what movie were we comparing it to, where you can see in the shot right before Scott comes back and is like, just kidding, I'm actually Santa, which is a great twist. But, like, Laura and Neil are sitting at the kitchen table. She's clearly at the end of her rope. I'm like, they're about to divorce each other. This is the worst thing that they've lost their child. And then it turns out the spirit of Christmas brings them back together, and they're not mad.
They're not mad at all.
They're not mad.
They're like, oh, Charlie, welcome back.
Want to know an interesting thing?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
So in the Santa, it's interesting that you brought that up, because in the Santa Claus 3, the escape clause, when. It's kind of like...
This is the most specific actually I've ever been on the receiving end of.
What I'm saying here... what I'm saying here is that in the timeline where Scott Calvin never becomes Santa Claus and Jack Frost becomes Santa Claus, in the timeline when Scott Calvin is never Santa Claus, Neil and Linda... Laura.
But spiritually Linda.
Yeah, spiritually Linda. Yeah. Neil and Laura, spiritually Linda, divorce. So in a world where Scott Calvin never became Santa Claus, they do get divorced.
No.
Yeah.
I honestly think that Laura's better off without either of them.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not as upset as I let on. I think Laura should tell us what her job is. And that we should be able to learn some facts about her, and that her child stepdad shouldn't be the one that is pushing for custody decisions.
Right.
That I was like annoyed at Neil, where Neil's like, I am a doctor and this is the way it has to be. And I was like, he's not your son.
Yeah,
you don't get
it's
to
not your call.
Yeah. And then Laura was like, I didn't get a board game. And then they're
that's
like,
the
okay.
That's the only thing we know about her.
Right.
As far as we know, that's that and having her son abducted are her top two problems.
Another thing about Scott Calvin, if I may.
Yeah. Oh, please.
So in the second film,
and don't call it a movie in front of Grace.
Do not call it a movie.
She'll get very upset.
Call it a saga if you need to. There's a meeting of the council of mythological beings.
I remember this is a scary scene and whatnot. Yeah.
And Father Time notes that since Scott became Santa, kids are 79% happier. He's one of the best Santas of all time. So I think the explanation why Laura didn't get that game is that the Santa before Scott was real bad at his job.
That was like Carter era Santa.
That was Carter era Santa. I like Jimmy Carter.
Sure.
I just don't think he's a hero.
And I think that his choice in Santa's really reflected that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if y'all know this, but we're privy to some very explicit information. The president chooses a Santa.
Yeah.
And that's a different clause.
That's just a different clause. If you shake the snow globe, it doesn't count. But technically, that is the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And that's why Scott Calvin is kind of a bipartisan hero.
Really?
Because he survived, what, 4 administrations? Including that real loopy one going on right now.
Yeah, we haven't seen Scott Calvin since, okay, I'll push back on that. We haven't seen Scott Calvin since the Bush administration.
Listen, Jamie, you got to believe in something.
I know. I think that all, yeah, well, I guess he you know, came to prominence during the Clinton administration. He lasted through the Bush administration. And really, you know, I think now we really need him now more than ever.
I agree. Right. See, he's able to work within the system, yeah. You know?
There's something to be said for that. Yeah. He's changing things from the... No, he's not. The thing is, Tim Allen voted for Trump. And yeah. That's something we really need yeah. to... I know everyone's hissing through their teeth, but it's yeah. like we have to we have to acknowledge it. We can't talk about Buzz Lightyear without being like, well... not, you know.
You know what? I bet Scott Calvin also would have voted for Trump had he not turned into Santa
Claus.
He was rich.
That's interesting. That's an interesting opinion.
He's like a business market. He's at the very least fiscally
conservative. Do you think Scott... Okay, yeah. Wait. Let's clear this up. Do you think Scott Calvin would have voted for Trump if he had... I agree with you. If he hadn't become Santa, he would have voted for Trump.
Yeah. Ooh, oh.
But I think Santa Claus... Like he became
he's
Santa
like
Claus.
Medicare for all.
He's probably like, he's probably like, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't give him that much credit.
The show's been going on for an hour and we are not even done with the recap. So
we're at the end.
But yes, we're at the end where they prep for Christmas Eve. Scott, a.k.a. fully fledged Santa now.
Yeah,
and
he's accepted it.
He's embraced it. He and Charlie are out delivering presents to the kids, and then they stop at Laura and Neil's house, but the police catch him and arrest him.
Which I totally forgot happens.
Same. Totally forgot that. And I also forgot how the North Pole, like, dispatches this squad of, like, SWAT elves.
Okay, elves with attitude.
Yes, and much... I think that's kind of a Desert Stormy thing. Right?
Yeah, sure. Sure, 94, that tracks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love when they're like, we're your worst nightmare, elves with attitude. I know I said that to my
it's
mom.
It's like, whose kid was that? Why did that kid get to be in it?
I feel like that they had, and no disrespect, I mean, if you were one of the elves with attitude, slide into our mentions.
Certainly.
Please come
on
the show.
I'll give you a personal apology.
There, but that, to me, had the energy of, like, a crew member's kid.
100%.
Yeah.
Not,
you
like,
know every one of those kids has a degree from UCLA now.
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, these elves with attitude break Santa out of jail. And then they go back to Laura and Neil's house, and even though he's kidnapped Charlie for a month, like we said, Laura and Neil are just like, whatever. But from their perspective, they still think that Scott is, like, delusional.
Right.
And then suddenly, apropos of absolutely nothing...
One of the best line reads in cinema history.
Because it's Laura,
and she says, oh my God, you... really are Santa Claus.
You know, that line wasn't even originally in the movie. The actor, who was the actress that played Laura?
She was, I'll get her name, but continue.
So she was just on set and saw Tim Allen dressed up as Santa. And emotion just overcame her, and they happened to be rolling. And that's when she said... You know, in person, oh, you really are Santa. Like, and they were like,
We gotta use it. Her name is Wendy Crewson, and she is in all three of the movies.
Oh, good for her.
What else is she? Well, we don't need to go into that. I'm
well,
sorry.
Yeah.
We don't have time. But yeah, there's no like catalyst in the story that gets her to be like, oh, wow, you are Santa Claus. I guess it's magic. It's Christmas magic.
Magic and belief, Caitlin.
I'm so sorry.
And then Neil apologizes to Charlie, which I liked. He's like, I'm sorry I didn't believe that Scott Calvin is Santa Claus. I see now the initials. It makes sense.
But then he immediately backpedals on what he just said, and he's just like, oh, no, he's, like, making us buy into this huge delusion. But then, like, a few moments later... Scott Calvin, who is a good Santa Claus, gives him the weenie whistle and the mystery date game. And a soccer ball to Charlie, which I guess he wanted.
I guess he asked.
But right before that happens, the best moment happens, ooh, which is Laura takes the custody papers and is like,
and then she throws the custody papers into the fireplace.
And she's like, there you go, you've got your custody back.
And it's like, legally, he doesn't.
Yeah, legally, he doesn't. It's mystifying that they were able to navigate the courts well enough to take his custody away, and but they didn't know that, like, oh, you don't get to make that decision. You know?
Right.
The law, but I mean, I guess it's all kind of moot because then he just flees to the North Pole permanently.
Yes.
So, and that's the movie.
That's the movie. That was the recap. He's flying around, and then everyone's like, wow, it really is Santa. Wee.
It's real. It's all real.
And that's the movie.
That's the Santa Claus.
We really.
All right, everyone, that's the end of part one. Don't forget to grab your tickets for our upcoming live shows in San Francisco and New York and Philly. And then also follow us on social media, Bechdelcast, our Patreon at patreon.com/Bechdelcast. Grab our merch, all that good stuff. And stay tuned for part two of The Santa Claus. Bye.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Monday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.